this girl who's running away from Fangor because he's going to rape her. Why is she?
He's going to smash. He just smashed a man. Why would he rape? How could he rape her?
He's horny. He's got a stone dick. That's why he's got underwear. But she's like got her head turned and she's staring into space. What the fuck? Oh, well, it was the 70s. She's on drugs.
Hello, this is Alan Moore, and you are listening to Podcast X. Joining Trenchcoat Mafia this week is Mr. Timmy Thume, and they will be concluding their review of Iron Man, Volume 1, Issue 56. Also, praise be to the great glove puppet god Glycon. Podon can go fuck himself.
Hey, by the way, there is some early unfinished work in progress Steve Gerber social commentary here, because this Republican-looking dude with the hard hat is like, what happened to good, clean American art? And this like professor hippie looking dude is like, it was dropped on the DMZ.
Oh, now I get that. I never got that joke. Now, but okay, I see what you're saying. Our bomb. That is good old American art. That's okay. That's one good line there. Well, Tony Stark, he's objective. Oh, he certainly is fervent.
Yeah, he's being like when you don't want to say something negative, but you're thinking something negative. Like, how's this thing that I did?
But see,
it's very interesting.
That was my problem with characters like Iron Man before Civil War, when Mark Miller actually gave people personalities and how they would be. People always saying, oh, there, he changed them. The characters weren't like this before. That's because they were all alike. Any superhero would have said what Tony Stark is saying right now, but given Mark Miller, if he wrote this, Tony Stark would have said something like, this guy's a nutbag or something. He would have given him an opinion. All the characters only had that one opinion of that. We're not going to offend nobody. We're the upstanding, whatever.
By the way, now, you just described how DC's heroes have traditionally always been.
That's true, too. That's very true. They even more blander. That's why I like Marvel when I was a kid, because at least they tried. Peter Parker was different, you know, and there was a couple other different characters. And somebody, there's a hippie in the audience looking at Fabi Fubnik saying he is an artist's soul. That's why I thought he was black, because he was talking about soul. But anyway.
It looks in that same panel. Like, look, it looks like they tried to color in his face, but only half of his face is, like, colored in. And it's like gray.
And that's why I thought he's a black man. So he said, enough theorizing. I give you all the evils of men. Fangor. And they unveiled the statue, which ain't nothing but a very evil looking gargoyle type. And he has shorts on.
Like, yeah, that really, come on. What artist is going to make a statue?
Because he's in Central Park. He can't make a naked statue in Central Park.
Well, actually, why did he give the statue a dick then?
Ain't say it was a dick. Just gave him some shorts.
Well,
ain't say what he got
because it can't be like Swamp Thing. Like, okay, like the Comics Code actually wanted DC to put like underwear on Swamp Thing back in the early 70s. I'm not even making that up. And like they had to slowly and patiently explain that Swamp Thing is a monster. He has no cock. There's no reason for him to have to wear underwear. And so I'm thinking, maybe the Comics Code really, like, they're thinking, oh, fuck, we got to put, like, underpants on him. Or the Comics Code, you know, will tell us to anyway. But it's stupid.
What you going to do?
Put shorts okay. on him, I guess, yeah.
Fabi Fuvnik, a black man, claims, this is all the evils of man, that which is within us all. There's a guy who's looking, Rush Limbaugh looking guy.
Looks like, it's hideous.
That guy looks like Foggy Nelson.
Yeah, I guess you could say a blonde Foggy. It's hideous. And Fuvi says, exactly. That's his point. So you gonna litter your park, the park with your ugly art. You admit that it's hideous. And what's Tony Stark saying? Ha, I don't know if it's art, but it definitely belongs in Central Park. Anything that ugly might even scare off the muggers.
Is there a male character in this comic that doesn't have sideburns?
It was the 70s, dude.
Just yeah, like, yeah. No, go ahead.
Nowadays, everybody has that little spiky hair or whatever that. It's 2008. That's the style.
Oh, man. I'm thinking of 90s comics. Everybody had a mullet.
Yep.
Even Superman.
I can't believe that. Everybody had a mullet. Everybody had longish hair, all the guys.
That's why I could never take Venom seriously. They gave Venom a mullet.
Well, they did not give Venom a mullet.
I swear they gave Venom a mullet.
Now you mean Eddie Brock?
Yes.
And yeah, that's, I mean, well, as long as when he was in as Venom, he didn't have a mullet, you know, that's fine by me. But
if the costumes, the symbiote is off of his face, you see Eddie Brock and his mullet.
Well, I think Peter Parker survived that thing. He didn't without a mullet, but he survived the 90s.
Good for Peter.
And what's his name? Rasputin. The time has come. But the Tavi stick finger shall live.
Live and punish. Proudly I raise the enchanted staff and speak the forbidden words. Frab oil.
Auntie.
Bovine
Tavi. What the fuck?
First of all, Gerber rules. Look what he got through the comics code. That first word, frabnoil, that's lion barf backwards.
Okay.
Okay, lion barf into.
Two.
And then now bovine as in cow.
Cow.
And then Tavi is the god. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but just to work lion barf into your story and get away with it, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Okay. And he's. Live, O creative of creature of stone, breathe, ye soul of evil. Strike for Tavi. I like this panel here with him screaming, you know, like a nutbag.
By the way, here's another reason you know it's Starlin, that he's got the panel and the word balloon and the caption are completely outside the panel. In fact, they're in the gutter.
And that looks like like something from Eerie or one of those old comic books, horror comic books from EC. The way he's screaming, got the red lighting on his face.
Yeah. And, oh, Fangor is talking.
Air fills my lungs. And then,
how does the artist
not even notice?
Yeah.
Because he's an artist with an ego who he's all into himself. I know people like that. You're talking to him, trying to tell him something. And they continue talking like, you know, nothing else is happening around them.
Yeah,
they
so anyway, like I was saying, no, that was on purpose.
And he says, no, I don't know if you want to do the Fangor lines, I'll do 5-0.
Okay. Oh, you already did the air fills my lungs. What does the artist say there?
Note the fine lines.
And rage my heart. I am Fangor. I am evil!
Cripes, it's alive!
And I destroy! And he kills
him. I love this. He slams his fist down on 5-0. All you see is his feet in the air in a comical way, not in a horrible way. But ain't another word said about that nigga for the rest of the comic. He just got wasted. And I like how Iron Man does come to the rescue, of course. Well, not to the rescue. He already did. But he don't say nothing else in the comic mentioned that somebody was murdered here today in Central Park or died.
You don't see the thought balloon where Tony Stark is thinking, my God, the artist is dead. thank God it was only a black guy.
And Actually, I was glad because Fievel was getting on my nerves.
Hey! There you go. He got what's his name? Black Goliath killed.
Oh, yeah, that was his fault too. But okay, we'll skip that. But it was, he still didn't want it to be. You know, he didn't want it to happen.
What? You know, if you try to clone a god, what do you think is going to happen? Anything good?
Yeah, he thought that he would be totally in his control. That's why he made him part cyborg, so he could control him. But obviously, the programming was off. It wasn't Tony Stark's fault. We're blaming that man for everything. Okay, he's a good character. We're trying to make him that he's an evil character.
He's just like Dr. Doom. As villains go, Iron Man is pretty good.
But
seeing him in Mighty Avengers fighting Doom, I realized what a hero Doom really is when you put him up against Iron Man. And Doom had a good point, because he tells Tony to his face, more people hate you than hate me.
So Tony Stark, after he sees this guy murdered, it's incredible. That thing is actually alive. I don't know how or why, but it's time for Iron Man. Okay, wait a minute. That dude just got wasted. He didn't say, it's incredible. That thing is alive, and he just murdered that man. No, he's just like, wow.
Well, because Tony Stark knows the rules of comics at this time. The one black character has already gone over his allocated number of lines of dialogue. Because any black character in any comic in 73 could speak maybe 5 lines of dialogue before, you know, they got to go to another scene or kill the character.
Unless it was Luke Cage. Iron Man said,
Luke would be the exception. Was there any other black character that had his own comic book at the time? And there wasn't.
Well, Black Panther, he had.
That series in Jungle Action.
Jungle Action.
You know what? That would be a big exception because Don McGregor would give him and every other character in that book like 5 word balloons in every panel. So yeah.
Okay. Then there was the other black character in there, based on Derek Coward from Comic Book Noise, called Bitchy Bitch, the Little Bitch Boy.
Oh man.
Okay. Iron Man, why are you saying
the opinions expressed by Timmy Thune?
Wait a minute, no, you get mad when people say that about you.
I always knew there'd come a day when I would be saying that myself, though.
Iron Man saying, let's see how this monstrosity stands up to a transistor power attack. What does that mean, transistor power? The only thing I know about transistors is the radio, the little radio that you hold, and
okay,
you can hear it.
I know next to nothing about like anything technology related, and the fact that I'm able to put out a podcast at all is like some kind of a satanic miracle. But
satanic
miracle, because you know, since I was a child, I had read of Satan and the miracles he could perform. But okay. I don't even know what a transistor does. Either, so I got nothing except that I do know that it's funny that I know it's low tech, and the fact that his armor is powered by transistors is in 2008. I know that's pretty much a joke.
Yeah, he won't be saying that nowadays. So now he starts, the little monster or the big monster starts tearing up the park. Everybody's running and whatever, and Iron Man is just like, whatever this guy is, he ain't no pushover, but he ain't noticed me yet. Or he said hasn't even noticed me, which shows you the character of Tony Stark, that everything's got to be all about him. He's an egomaniac, okay, just like most of these superheroes in pervert suits.
This girl who's running away from Fangor because he's going to rape her, why is she...
he's going to smash... He just smashed a man. Why would he rape... How could he rape her?
He's horny. He's got a stone dick. That's why he's got underwear. But she's like got her head turned and she's staring into space. What the fuck? Oh, well, it was the 70s. She's on drugs. Okay.
And was it Iron Man hits him a couple of times. What? Who dares? What pitiful fool has chosen to pit his might against the evil of all men?
The name's Iron Man, though I suppose... You wouldn't know.
He didn't talk like that back in the day. Look at the balloon. That's a regular word balloon.
I just had to do that at least once, but yeah.
These are the days when he just had, like, you could see his eyes in the eye hole and his mouth in the mouth hole. And it's just like there was nothing between his mouth. Like, if he went underwater or whatever, there's nothing between to protect him.
Really? I thought, like, he had, like, I could have sworn that he had gone underwater in the 70s and he did have, like, something to shield his eyes and mouth. I could be wrong.
But they come down. Yeah, but they came down, like, meow, meow. But there you could see his eye. He just talked normal like he was wearing a mask, a regular mask.
Hey, is that why they gave him a nose? Was that for, like, underwater breathing or something? Remember he had a nose for a while on his helmet.
I don't want to think about that. That's not too – wouldn't be too good looking.
An almost funny anecdote. The people at Marvel were so afraid still of Stan Lee at this time. That even though Stan Lee wasn't involved in the day-to-day anymore, like, he came into the offices one time, and he looked at, like, some Iron Man art, and he said, shouldn't he have a nose? And, of course, what he meant was the artist had drawn the mask so flat that it didn't look like he could have a nose in there. So they actually added a nose to the helmet. And then Stan Lee comes in, like, however many months later, sees some Iron Man art, and is like, why does he have a nose? So as quickly as they gave him a nose, it went away. Yeah,
I'm glad because that. So Fangor punches Iron Man, knocks him into almost hitting Rasputin, and then the Rasputin calls, "Oh, the demon tossed him at me! That stupid Iron Toad! Well, why are you blaming Iron Man? You know, get out of the way!" And his Tavi stick is broken, and he can't control Fangor anymore.
Why the fuck did he bring Fangor to life in the first place?
Hey, I can't.
No, really?
I can't
did I miss
this
something?
Whole thing? The whole thing is stupid. Okay, Iron Man, you've got the Golden Avenger mad. No, he said you got this Golden Type Avenger mad. What does that mean?
And you know, this by the way proves that Tony Stark is a homicidal maniac because he says, "And when I'm mad, it's all over, but the body count."
Okay, I'm not going to get into that argument anymore. He's a hero, Tony Stark.
He's threatening to kill people.
You'll see this summer, maybe about the time this podcast is out, go see Iron Man starring Robert Downey Jr. at theaters near you.
Yeah, my podcast planning sucks because if I had any sense, I would have timed this Iron Man review to come out like the very like week Iron Man opens. But yeah, I'm guessing it'll still be in the theaters, by the time this airs. And what do you think of the Hulk? Did you see the trailer for that?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'm less excited after seeing the trailer. But hopefully they could turn it around. Supposedly the Iron Man character or Tony Stark is going to make an appearance in that movie.
I approve. Hulk. I'm fine with that.
Okay, yeah, it should be. It's a Marvel Universe thing. They need to make these movies interlock more instead, you know, because it gets boring sometimes with the same stupid bad guys. And, you know, the Abomination looked like a big green Shrek versus the Hulk, big green Shrek coming at each other. I'm like, okay, whatever. But I'm still going to see it because this is probably anything's got to be better than the Ang Lee version.
Oh, that wasn't horrible. It was.
Yes, it was.
Like Tony Stark was thinking about Fievel's statue. It certainly was fervent.
It's not Hulk thing supposed to be had no kind of melodrama. That was a melodrama. It's supposed to be slam bang action or whatever.
The one thing that bugged the shit out of me was they changed his origin for the worse. If you're going to change the origin, I'm fine with that, but make it better. That whole, what was it, starfish DNA or whatever? What the fuck was all that?
They just had Rick Jones trying to run onto the desert area where they're going
to
blow.
Yeah, you don't even need to keep Rick Jones alive. Have some somebody. No, I'm serious. Just have him saving somebody. A bomb goes off. He's the Hulk.
Yep. There you go. Try to save him. He's the Hulk. And then let's get to some action. Not you sitting around emoting about your dad.
Yeah. Well, also, the you know, pretty boy Eric Bana was a really bad choice for Banner anyway.
I disagree. What? It wasn't his fault. It was the script.
Bruce Banner should be some, like, schlubby guy, like Bill Bixby or Ed Norton. I mean, he shouldn't look like... Eric Bana could be a superhero.
Well, he's an average... To me, he looked like he could be an average... I believe him as an average professor at the college or whatever.
And Thomas Jane, too. The Punisher should not look like Thomas fucking Jane.
What's wrong with Thomas Jane?
These guys look like they spend a lot of time in a mirror, put it that way.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they got somebody else for the Punisher Warzone. So, and he's more grittier looking. He's a more gruff looking guy. I don't remember his name. But he certainly don't look like Thomas Jane. He's older, more Charles Bronson looking guy. So, that should be interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Clint Eastwood, when he was about, like, 40, could have been the Punisher.
Yeah, there you go. But that's who this new guy is. This guy, to me, he looks a little bit more gruff, you know. And I was glad with that, because Thomas Jane does look like he can model underwear or something.
See? That's why some people were upset when they cast Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man. And I'm like, no. Spider-Man's supposed to be a fucking geek.
No, but Spider-Man is supposed to also have a sense of humor. Tobey Maguire sounds like and like bringing up a few octaves, Toby, like when you're playing Spider-Man, when he was cracking jokes, he wasn't cracking jokes. But he cracked one or two jokes, and I didn't believe it off of him.
The fact that he didn't joke and banter enough, I'll agree with, but that's more of a problem with the script. They could have put banter in. But now I forget what I was going to say. Oh, well. I was okay with the first two Spider-Man movies, though.
Anyway.
Oh, I wasn't okay with Kirsten Dunst and her little chipped yellow teeth. That I had a problem with.
She was good as the Hobgoblin.
She was what? I didn't see three.
Okay.
Or are you saying the Hobgoblin is ugly, therefore he looks like Kirsten Dunst? But
okay, I thought she was playing the Hobgoblin in both of those movies, right? That's who she was.
Oh no, you know you're not going to believe this. They had
what?
Even though she looks like the Hobgoblin, they had her playing Mary Jane.
What? That's a horrible choice for Mary Jane. Anyway, they should have got somebody who looks like a young Angie Everhart. That's who I see Mary Jane as.
Oh, hey, that's, I could. Alicia Witt, the girl who used to be on that show, Sybil, she would have been good. And here's the, why do you hire a blonde to play a redhead? And then in three, from what I hear, they got a redhead to play Gwen Stacy and dyed her hair blonde.
Yep.
I don't understand that. Okay.
Bryce Dallas Howard, my future wife. But anyway, so that was horrible. That was horrible choices made. Okay, and why bring Gwen Stacy anyway if you're just going to make her some kind of tart who is just, he just blows off? I mean,
it should have been Gwen Stacy from the beginning, and then you kill her at the end of the first movie. It would have been epic.
But no, that would have been a downer for the audience.
It was a downer ending anyway.
Oh, because it was a horrible movie?
Well, no, it was... Oh, see, I liked 1 and 2. But, I mean, it's a downer ending because Peter tells Mary Jane, look, I can't be with you. Bye.
Yeah, but there's hope. They're alive. She's alive, and there's hope for them in the future. If it was Gwen Stacy dying, there would have been no hope for her.
Nah, nope. You have Mary Jane in the first movie along with Gwen. They could have done it just like the comics. After Gwen dies, you see the first glimpses that perhaps Mary Jane isn't a total slut.
And then, that's what audience like, to kill off the female that you thought was meant for the character and just replace her with somebody else. Good choice. So going back to Iron Man, he's fighting Fangor, get shot in the face by Tony Stark, because Tony Stark is fighting mad. I came prepared, Gargoyle. Question is, did you? Shoots him in the face. And now he's like, what is he throwing rocks at him? And he's like, yes, the answer. He is prepared, yes. He picks up rocks and starts throwing. Oh, this is badass. I like this. Now he's throwing hail of rocks at Iron Man. And somebody has to be dead. So, because there's like 100, he's doing like 100 boulders at Iron Man.
And none of them hit him.
Yes. Well, he's that going adventure. He can dodge that stuff with his trans-scissor-powered boots. But what I want to know is, he can't catch all of them, and he's not trying to catch all of them, so where'd the rest of them go?
Oh, they all landed on innocent civilians off-panel.
Damn, ouch. So he said that's why they need the Superhero Registration Act. to get this whole thing in order.
Well, Iron Man's the one. Wait. He's the dangerous superhero in this case, then. He could have.
Well, actually, it was the bad guy. He was trying to stop the bad guy, so I take that back. You know, he didn't really. It's not his fault if people die, if hundreds of people die from Boulder flying into the city.
You say that, though, because you don't see the scene where, like, a mother is pushing a baby carriage and one of the boulders crushes the carriage and the baby.
But you know what? I haven't really been to Central Park. I've been in New York, but I haven't been. So I think it's like miles and miles of green land. So he's probably throwing these rocks, and there's nobody in Central Park, right? So they're just muggers? Probably landing on grass.
What about the muggers?
Ooh.
What about the homeless people?
Well, oh, they're homeless. Who cares?
Well, Tony Stark sure as hell doesn't care about them.
And he said, suppose we try catching one of these flying fragments and tossing it right back at him. He hits him in the face, and of course it doesn't do nothing because he's Fangor.
And now for something completely different.
I'm not.
Fangor is claiming to be, quote, every evil thought, every evil deed of every human since the dawn of time. I'm really not getting that from anything other than his dialogue, though. He's coming off just as a generic rock monster.
But he can't. He's only been alive and only going to be alive for like 10 minutes total. So he can't really display all his evilness. I mean, that's not fair to Fangor. He only got 10 minutes to work with here. Come on.
I guess.
But by the power of Tavi, I guess Tavi do exist in these comedy, but I do inhabit this once empty body shell. Though I breathe and live the essence of what... But he said this is a lot of talking in all these panels just for to have Iron Man punch him and knock him to water.
I support all this dialogue because I miss this about comics. They used to take more than 2 minutes to read. Like, people actually talked and had conversations, even if they were beating each other up.
But say something that's moved the story along, not just saying, oh, I am the embodiment of all living evils, forsooth thou say.
Well, he's no worse than Tony Stark, and his, I can't wait to brag about my armor, and oh boy, there's no rest for me, because I'm king of the superheroes, and I'm so great, oh boy.
They're trying to show you that he's got all the weight of the world on his shoulder. Is a hero's life isn't an easy life.
I took the brooding as being like, okay, Gerber is writing this, therefore the lead character will brood.
Okay, so he knocked the statue into the water. Fangor is over with because he's probably stuck in the mud at the bottom of the pool. But alas, he is not. Somehow he swims up there and grabs Iron Man right out the air. And there's a big splash panel that looks horrible. with this Fangor standing up out the water, grabbing Iron Man in both his hands, and what the?
Yeah, this is, I got nothing. This is why I hate splash pages in the story, because there's really no reason for a whole page splash here, except I do like Iron Man looking helpless and weak and pitiful, and that's what you get, you son of a bitch. You know what it is? He probably asked Fangor to register, and that's what pushed him over the edge.
So Rasputin is looking at this scared. Fangor has run amok. Not even Iron Man can stop him. He'll destroy the whole city, the whole world, maybe even me. And he starts running. I thought he was supposed to be like the harbinger of evil and Tavi coming. And he's supposed to be Tavi's boy. Why is he scared of Fangor?
Because his Tavi stick broke, and now he can't control Fangor. He was fine when he thought he could control him. But he runs into the path of an oncoming police car.
Pow.
And
it shows...
I'm sorry, this is funny. Come on! He's there with his ass in the air, and this cop is thinking, wow, I knew what I'd do if I had, like, a broomstick. Because I'm NYPD, and that's how we do.
Okay. And he said, what he really says, the cop says, this is embarrassing. I just came from teaching at a driver training course. Now, that's funny. And he said, Charlie, hurry, bring the first aid. So they're helping up Rasputin. And they tell him, keep calm, old timer. We're going to help you. And he's, let me go. I must have my staff, which is broken. There's nothing he could do.
And look at these two panels next to each other. You see Rasputin. He's insane. He's helpless. Then you see Iron Man. He's insane. He's helpless.
Anyway,
Iron Man and Rasputin, one and the same. There's no difference here.
No, Iron Man is trying to save the city, okay? And he's saying he's trying to one last thing that might work because he's in the grip of Fangor, can't get out. And he says there's one thing that can save me from certain death. The unstable mini, was it the stable Freon mini bomb? Which is
a tube of something. We have an editor's note. Last used in Iron Man's battle against Titanium Man, Tales of Suspense, issue 82.
Now, I like that. They at least say, we didn't just come out our ass with this. We put it in his belt a long time ago, even though how would you have a test tube, glass test tube in your belt doing all this fighting?
Look, it's not in his belt. He keeps it in a compartment in his arm.
still, that shit would have been broken, and he would have been, what happened to Fangor now could have happened to Iron Man. So this is, whatever. Okay, he takes a glass tube, and throws it at Fangor between his eyes, and the Freon starts to freeze Fangor. It didn't kill him, but the shock of the numbing cold made him let me go. And that's all I need. Yeah, it didn't kill him yet. Look at...
Well, because Fangor was claiming to be a spirit of evil or whatever inhabiting the statue. And that's the excuse, because... Otherwise, you would assume Iron Man killed Fangor. And Iron Man saying, now that I know you can't really be killed... And he just smashes him to pieces.
I like that. That's the one good thing here. And that's it. And it says, now he takes to the skies, a myriad of questions plaguing his beleaguered mind, which will never be answered because who cares about Fangor? This is a stupid story.
You know what? I somebody let me write a comic because I would have Fangor team up with Mr. Fish. Like, those are the two characters nobody ever expects to ever be brought back.
They can't be. They both died, didn't they? Aren't they both dead? So there's
nothing. They're comic book dead. How many times has Phoenix been dead?
Okay, so Iron Man is thinking, what or who brought it to life? Who cares? And why? Cares? It doesn't make sense. That tells the story all in one line right there.
Was it the artist? Fuvnik? So egotistical. One of my old enemies? Or maybe that little old... No, that's ridiculous.
And once again, summing up the stories in one line.
Meanwhile, we have Rasputin is, well, no, he's not getting drunk because aren't we told this is an orange Julius? Okay, so he's drinking orange.
Wait a minute. Orange Julius was around in the 70s, and why did they put the name in this comic book?
Yeah, look at the caption.
What, I see, but why? What?
Realism.
Why are you going to mention it, but then they don't show it as an Orange Julius stand? It's just like a generic stand. That's interesting.
Gerber probably wrote this Marvel style. He handed the plot to Starlin, and Starlin probably didn't draw an establishing shot of the Orange Julius from the outside.
Yeah.
So Gerber is just, you know, covering for Starlin not doing that, I'm assuming.
And he's drinking. He's just feeling sorry for himself. Rasputin is, that is. And he says, what do you say? I spent years in solitude for what? Nothing, that's what. I bet you don't even believe in magic, do ya?
And it turns out he's talking to Doctor Strange. Come on, this is great!
And he's just talking like two old buddies in a bar.
Doctor Strange is like, magic? Why, body, I'm nipping at Ashtar. I've never given it a second thought.
Yet he's dressed all up in his Eye of Ashanti or whatever with that magical cloak on, looking like a freak. You talk about, I never believed in magic. Come on.
Ooh, I can see if he's dressed. Come on. Admit that's funny. Come on.
No, and they forgot they forgot his white sideburns, too. Why you at it?
They did.
Wouldn't it have been funnier if he was dressed in a regular clothes, like a regular layman?
No, because you have to get that it's Doctor Strange.
Well, if they put the white stripes in his hair,
then it could just be some guy that looks like Doctor Strange. Plus, that's exactly why this panel is laugh out loud funny, because he is dressed up like Doctor Strange. And everybody just accepts it. Oh, yeah, back at Avengers Mansion, Iron Man is about to sum up this comic for you. He's alone. He's in the mansion. He's sitting in his chair, crossing his legs like a chick. And he's thinking, still no one home. And I think I'm falling asleep.
Yeah. That's my rating.
I give this comic a 6.
I give it 2 Z's up.
It's interesting to chart creators' development. Like, you see Gerber trying to be funny and, like, failing half the time. And you see Starlin trying to be Starlin, and he fails about half the time. Yeah, it's...
More than half. But see, you see that Spaz page? He failed 8% of the time. Ooh, look at that. Oh, God, that's horrible art. And this, look at that, Doctor Strange even looks like Ditko. Well, that's probably what he's trying to make it look like, Ditko. But he can't draw that bad. So,
well, no. If he was, going for a Ditko look, that panel would be 100 times better because, you know, Ditko rules. Although I will say, and I'm going to be a total geek here, the Eye of Agamotto does not look like that.
That's true. That, yeah, I agree.
That looks like a seashell that he's got on instead.
It's just closed. That's why it looked like that. I don't know what's going on with that. But
An interesting postscript to this comic. Speaking of Stan Lee and the power he still wielded at this time, Steve Gerber, as of this issue, was supposed to be the permanent writer of Iron Man. When Stan Lee read this, Gerber was off the book so fast, his head was probably spinning.
So that's true? That's the two...
Yeah, the new Iron Man team was supposed to be Gerber and Starlin. And this story pissed Stan Lee off so much, he's like, no, get them off the fucking book.
Wait, is that why you chose this story?
Actually, largely, yeah. Now, here's my question to you. Do you think that they deserve to be fired from this book?
Yes.
Wow.
They wasn't looking no much better than this. It's horrible.
Come on, this was really funny. He gave Iron Man a personality.
What kind of personality? I don't know. What are you talking about? They gave him a personality. He was just a regular square-jawed hero. I got my transistor popper.
He made him whimsical. He's got roller skates. He's going to see statue unveilings in the park. He's wearing an ascot.
What he did was watch a few episodes of the Batman TV series in the 60s and thought it'd be cute to go ahead and do that with the Iron Man comic, and that's why his ass got fired.
But I like the Batman. I like the 60s Batman show, though. What? It treated Batman the way he deserves to be treated.
I don't know why you hate Bruce Wayne character so much, but... Are you going to see Dark Knight Returns or whatever?
Shut up.
You're going to see it.
I'm only going so I can root for the Joker.
If Joker wasn't a bad guy, if it was the Penguin or somebody, would you plan to go see it?
Now, when I say see it, I mean I'll probably download it. So it's not like they're getting my money or anything.
You can't take your ass to the movies to go see it.
I might not. We'll see. But, Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne, I really hate Batman, but I'm not crazy about Iron Man either. So there's just a certain kind of character that works my nerves. Like, I think you said who your favorite heroes were, and then I listed my top five heroes.
I remember that. A whole form that just got erased.
Now, I'll tell you, as someone who often posted to your forum, I was a little annoyed that all of the posts that I had put up there were, like, no longer there, because it's all about me. But, my favorite heroes are, in order, Silver Surfer. No, I take that back. Doctor Strange is my, number one favorite. Doctor Strange, Silver Surfer, that's where it gets tough. I would say Howard the Duck, Spider-Man, and the Hulk.
Now, after that posting, Vicious Smith...
fuck him, because he said he was going to listen to PCX. I ain't never see him comment or nothing. He comments on Anti-Fanboy, so he listened to, one episode, he's like, oh, this show sucks. So
he might be one of the guys who subscribe and does not post, that's all.
Oh, well, in that case, I take it back, because you're listening. But if you're not listening, then fuck you. And see, if you're not listening, he'll never hear that. It doesn't matter.
Well, I tell him. But he said, after he read that post of yours, he responded that he was rolling on the floor laughing and dying of laughter.
Okay, real quick. And here's why these are the five best characters ever in comics. First of all, Doctor Strange. How can anyone even disagree? I mean, perfect. Mm-mm. Perfect hero. Silver Surfer.
He's a cult hero. Most Americans are Christians. They don't believe in the cult. And
that makes him cool. Anyway, Silver Surfer. I love... ironically, because Doctor Strange is very steeped in the occult, Silver Surfer is like a Christ figure. But see, he is way cooler than Jesus because Jesus never had to cut the power cosmic.
Or a surfboard.
or a surfboard. Yeah, and yeah, Silver.
But he had a crucifix, so leave him alone. he had a crown of thorns.
Okay, the fictitious character of Jesus suffered pretty well, and I like characters who suffer. But the fictitious character of the Silver Surfer, he is always suffering, and he would always give like monologues about his suffering, and like you could really get into his pain and get like really depressed reading Silver Surfer comics. And
I thought he just complained a lot, but go ahead.
Stop that. No,
even he said later on in a JM the Matus book, which I review on Doom. Check it out, doomcast.blogspot.com.
Well, I was going to plug it. I did forget for a second because I got wrapped up in this five characters thing. But yeah, yes, it's probably back by the time of this PCX. Your show,
yeah, my show. What I was going to say on that show in one of these issues of the Defenders. Even one of the characters, Demon Slayer, starts moping and whining like Surfer used to, and Surfer said, quit moping and whining. I used to do that, and there was no point in it. So that's a commentary on that.
Okay, that's why they need for me to write Silver Surfer, so I can get him back to the the monologues about his mighty cosmic suffering. Yeah, because there was I like sad things, and this was an exchange in a relatively recent Doctor Who. A chick is like, I like old things. They make me sad. And the other chick is like, why would you want to be sad? And she says, sad is happy for deep people. And that is why the Silver Surfer is a great character. The overwhelming sadness that he was trapped on Earth and yada, yada, yada. Howard the Duck, now, actually, you might agree with me on Howard the Duck, that he's one of the five best characters in comics.
I like it. He's all right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't take him seriously, and I don't know what's wrong with them.
He's a duck with a suit on.
Yeah, isn't it awesome? Spider-Man, and I guess you would say that Spider-Man complains too.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
No, he's fine, because at least he does something about it. Silver Surfer just mope around on his board. He can go anywhere he wants to in the world, fuck any bitch he wants. And he's
No. He can't, because he has that silver sheath covering him. And there was an early issue of the Steve Englehart run of Silver Surfer where he's in space with, I think it was Mantis, and him and Mantis are talking about fucking, and there's a panel where they have Mantis's reflection on the Silver Surfer's groin as he's saying, but with being what Galactus has made me, like, fucking is no longer for such as I. And you get the message.
Okay, you know what? I can't blame him for being a little mopey.
There you go. All right, then. And Peter Parker has a right to be mopey because apparently he has radioactive sperm because he kills Mary Jane by fucking her in the future.
Oh, yeah. That's funny. No, that ain't funny. That's not.
No, it is funny because I have no respect for Mary Jane. I'm fine with that.
He has the equivalent of AIDS, then superhero AIDS.
Well, fortunately, that was an alternate future, so we could just assume that in the present, he doesn't have killer sperm. They tried that shit with my fifth favorite character, the Hulk, saying that Betty died of radiation secondhand from Bruce all those years, but that turned out to be bullshit. The Hulk is another one do I really have to justify. I mean, you have this dude, he suffers, and then he becomes the Hulk, and then he really suffers. I mean, yeah, cool.
Well, I thought you would hate him just because he's a smash, bang, boom, crash.
Like, and I think it was Rick Jones, I think, said this in Planet Hulk, the people the Hulk smashes usually turn out to be the people that need to have been smashed.
Okay, all right. I know there's something called the Gamma Core, which I got it for 50 cents, so I bought them all. And I'm reading it now, but he tells the stories. The Gamma Corps is made up of people like Hulkbusters. They're made up of people who was slighted by the Hulk or lives destroyed by the Hulk in some way. And they tried to blame this woman. First of all, Amadeus Cho in one of these Hulk issues said, you never kill nobody. All the deaths that they blamed on you was you're not responsible for. And he had an explanation for every death. But in Gamma Corps, one of the characters is a gamma-radiated woman called Mess. And her origin is she's riding down the street with her son in a car, and like in the freeway. And they said, you know, Hulk is in our town. She heard it over the radio. And she said, well, thank God. He's like a mile away from here. Miles away from here. And I'm just worried about your uncle and your aunt. She looks up in the sky. There's a car flying through the sky and lands on her car. And basically her son dies and she lives, but she loses her arm and her leg trying to rescue her son.
I dispute her version of events. What really happened was one of the boulders that Fangor threw at Iron Man landed on her car.
Okay.
And that's what really happened, and therefore Tony Stark is responsible.
There's another one of the other characters in there was this big black guy. I got to fully read his origin, but there was this guy going around collecting all these people whose lives were destroyed by Hulk, and this guy's lives were destroyed. His son, basically, he was a strict reverend, and his son walked out on him and ran away to go hang out in New Mexico. And years later, his son died. They showed him in the coffin, and basically it was Jim Wilson, and the guy comes to recruit Jim Wilson's father at the funeral, and his mother is like, "Yes, my son died of HIV," and the father says, "No, it's the Hulk's fault. The Hulk killed my son."
You know what? You know what though? The Hulk did kill his son, because the Hulk could have saved him with his blood, and he didn't.
Yes, and me and Chensko Mafia is going to talk about that when we review that issue. The death of, I forget which issue, 420 or something like that.
Oh, speaking of stuff we're probably eventually going to review, did you still want to review The Boys?
Oh, yes.
I have a reason for it. This is why I thought of it. Because I'm like, oh, you know who's got a good story about, like you were just saying, like superheroes wrecked my life. Remember Billy Butcher said that his wife was raped and impregnated by like a superhero? And then like the super fetus killed the woman because it like burst out of her stomach, and like Butcher had to like, you know, just batter the super baby to death.
Okay, I didn't read the first six issues, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry. That's when he's recruiting Wee Huey. He tells Huey his backstory, and basically the story is Superman fucked my bitch, you know. So.
Go ahead. No, that's that Larry Niven thing of Woman of Tissue, Man of Steel.
Yeah, it's like, here you go. Here's what would really happen if Superman fucked Lois. I forgot. And Billy Butcher has a scar on his arm because the fetus used its heat vision on him.
That's Superman.
I would like to see that that battle, like the whole fetus bursting out of the stomach and then he's fighting the fetus. That would have been cool. Oh, my God. I don't have the latest issue of The Boys. But as of the time of this recording, for the audience, they finally fuck, apparently, Huey and the Supergirl character, except that Supergirl's on her period and Huey goes down on her.
Okay, let's move on with the
yeah, I'm just saying that is the nastiest fucking thing that can possibly be in a comic.
Did he come up and his face was all red?
I didn't read it yet. I'm afraid to.
I'm scared. Do they have any kind of restrictions on what they show in that comic book now?
I don't think so. Ever since, and by the way, fuck DC, fuck Paul Levitz and Dan DiDio and all of them, because ever since DC's like, no, you know what, fuck you guys, you're making fun of the Justice League, we can't have this. Ever since then, I think they've turned it up a notch even.
Good.
Because
I'll be sure to get those issues. The only one I had was the swing wing storyline with the gay guy.
That was good. It wasn't as good as the first arc. I'm being a hypocrite because I haven't been reading it myself. But if you have guys like Garth Ennis, why the fuck would you want to like tie their creative hands behind their back?
Yeah, don't they want to read a good story instead of stuff that it's all in these multiverse continuity, and let's do Earth 2 and Earth 3. And let's have Supergirl crying over the fact, not Supergirl, but Power Girl crying over the fact that she's the only one left in her Earth. And let's have another story with Nightwing, Robin, and Batman, showing how they are family.
I have not read an issue of Countdown, and I hope never to be subjected to that. Because, yeah, everything I've read about that, I really don't think so. Maybe Dan DiDio's been replaced by a Skrull. Oh, wait, no, DiDio always sucked. I take it back.
Ooh, so, ow.
I would do, like, Dan DiDio's dead father, like I do Joe Quesada's dead father, but I don't even know if Dan DiDio's father is dead or not. But you know what? DiDio has ruined DC so much that if his father still is alive, I hope that his father does die.
Oh, what? the opinion.
Okay, and you know what? On that note, we are out of here.
Didn't anyone ever tell you you're hard to resist?
Now, good. Lean on me. Stop fighting it, Tony. Come on. Work into the pain. Push, Tony. Harder. Faster. Boy, is that all you got?